was thinking while Malia was playing that I'm thankful that we have young people that will put forth the effort to learn how to play the piano. We have some that are coming here from week to week, and they're practicing singing, and I'm thankful that most of all that Malia got saved. And I pray today for those of you who are not, that you too might seek the Lord, that you might come to know Him. Not just know about Him, but you might come to know Him as your Savior. I certainly want to ask for your prayers today. I want to read some scripture found in Colossians chapter 3. If you have your Bibles and would like to read along, then turn to Colossians chapter 3. I have had this on my heart, and I'm going to try to share the things with you this morning that God has placed upon my heart in as timely a manner as I can. And I would like for us to afterwards have two or three more songs and worship today. But I know that if I can do that, if I can get, I know if I can preach short, I'll make a lot of happy Baptists out of you today. But I want to begin reading here with Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. And it says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." And I'll stop reading there with verse 17. And I want to speak today about Thanksgiving. In these verses that I read, the Apostle Paul here in writing to the Colossians gave a lot of instruction to them as to how to live as godly people, different things that they were to do, how that they were to interact with one another. And he gave, as I said, a lot of instruction here. We might say he heavily instructed them in this, how they were, supposed to live as the people of God. And even to the point where he spoke about teaching one another, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And in the midst of all of this instruction, he says, in the 15th verse, at the end of that verse, in the midst of all this, he says, and be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. And I want to share some other scripture, and I want to share a few things very quickly about some of our American history. We have, Lord willing, this coming Thursday, we will have what is known in this nation as Thanksgiving Day. And I think that when American people commonly think about that, when we think about Thanksgiving Day, when we think about the origin of that day, that we probably generally think about what happened in 1621 with the Pilgrims when they had a three-day celebration of giving thanks for their first harvest in the New World. And just to share a few things that have been done by presidents here in this nation through the years. The first president, George Washington, in 1789, he proclaimed the first nationwide celebration in America for Thanksgiving Day. He set aside, he marked November 26th, 1789, as a day of public thanksgiving and eating way too much food and sitting in a recliner and watching football until you fell into unconsciousness. No, that's what we have done. What he did was he marked that day as a public thanks, as a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God. They are many, aren't they? Abraham Lincoln, in 1863, as president, made Thanksgiving Day an annual nationwide observance. And he set it to be held the last Thursday of November. And then in 1939, President Roosevelt changed that to the fourth Thursday of November, because I guess there were times when there would be five Thursdays, and so he set that it would be observed the fourth Thursday of November, and American people have been doing that ever since. And that's just a few little things to be said about the observance of what we know as a nation as Thanksgiving Day. In the 68th Psalm, in the 19th verse, it says, blessed be the Lord who loadeth us daily with benefits, and even the God of our salvation. Now, Brother Mike Wheat made a statement when he was testifying earlier that really what he said is really about the thought that I want to share with you today, but we'll get to that here in a moment, because I want to go through some other scriptures before I go any further. But I want you to remember that the psalmist said that God loads us daily with benefits. In the 107th Psalm, in verse 1, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Well, why should we do that? For He is good. His mercy endureth forever. In the first chapter of the Epistle of James, James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, James wrote, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift And every perfect gift is from above. Amen? I mean, that's where our blessings come from. They come from above. From the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. They come down from the Father of lights. They come down from God and rest upon us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 and 11, and I love these verses, Paul said, "Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." Listen, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us, thanksgiving unto God. Do you feel like your life is enriched? Being enriched in every good thing to all bountifulness, and it causes in us thanksgiving unto God. Psalm 92, the first two verses. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Yes, that's right. That's proper. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. To be honest with you, for the people of God, shame on us if we don't. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. And those are just a very small portion of what we find throughout the Word of God concerning how that we as God's people ought to be thankful in our hearts for what the Lord has done for us. And, you know, there have been many times in many situations, under many different circumstances throughout history, where there have been those that have been thankful to God. In fact, I believe perhaps more thankful to God than what His people are today, that were not nearly in the comfortable situation that we find ourselves in our day. They were thankful to God oftentimes when they were cold, when they didn't have proper shelter, when they didn't have proper covering, when they didn't have a big thick coat to keep them warm like we often have today. And yet it seems like that in the midst of all of this, that we in many aspects have become a nation of crybabies. And we see, you know, around us all the times, all the time rather, we see situations and circumstances that I mean, that's all you can say about it. I remember when I was growing up, if you got upset and whined and cried about every time that something didn't go your way, that's what you were labeled, a crybaby. But you know, we see going on in our nation today that evidently people think, well, that's just their right to throw fits you know, to go and to protest and to get all sorts of upset if they don't get their way about something. And I'll tell you what, as God's people, we better not let that rub off on us, because we have too much to be thankful for. We have we are too blessed. I spoke about this at prayer meeting Wednesday night. We are too blessed, honestly, to ever complain about anything. We do complain, don't we? Oh, we complain, you know, oh, woe is me, I don't have this, I don't have that, I wish I had this, and I wish I had that. And, you know, we oftentimes we complain and we whine and we mope about things, but listen, we don't have anything to complain about. God has enriched us in everything to all bountifulness, and it shouldn't do anything but cause us to be thankful to Him for what He has blessed us with. Now, we, you know, I believe that most of us do this. I believe that the day, that fourth Thursday of November that was set aside, that day that was set aside in 1939 by an American president to be observed as Thanksgiving Day, I think probably most of us do that. We gather with family. We enjoy food. We enjoy fellowship. We go through the things that we do, it seems, from year to year in observing that day. But listen, long before there was ever a Thanksgiving Day, long before there was ever a national holiday known as Thanksgiving, long before there was ever a nation known as America, many years before that, before any of those things had ever come to pass, God was teaching His people through the inspiration of Holy Scripture that we are to be a thankful people unto God. Listen, if you have, by the help of God, if you have repented of your sins, if you have been able to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God, through His miraculous operation on your heart, took away that burden of sin that you had, took away that condemnation, took away that guilt, took away the fear of death that you had, and gave you peace in your heart, and assured you through the Holy Spirit speaking to your spirit that He had saved you by His grace. If you've experienced that, is there anything that could ever be better than that? Listen, if that has happened to you, then you can say, I have received, I'm a recipient of the greatest gift that's ever been known to man. Amen. The greatest thing that could have ever happened to me in this life has happened to me. And I made mention of this Wednesday night. Some of these brethren during the tent revival a couple of weeks back spoke about from the 16th chapter of Luke, spoke about that beggar named Lazarus, who the Bible says tells us that he had sores all over him, dogs coming around and licking his sores. He was destitute even of the daily needs of life. He laid there at the gate. He laid there begging the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. He was in a horrible shape in the flesh. But listen, obviously he had something to be thankful for because the Bible says that the beggar died and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Oh, I'm thankful today that no matter what befalls me in this life, one day soon, the end of this life is going to come, and thank God I'm going home. Amen. To be with Him. Amen. You can't beat that, can you? Can't get any better than that. But you know, the Lord so graciously, He saves us. I've got to hear, thank God, in the last almost 11 years, a lot of people, many young people, come up here and stand up here and share with us how that the Lord saved them. And what a blessing. What a blessing to hear somebody say that. What a blessing to see that smile on their face. What a blessing to know that God has been gracious to another soul. Listen, God didn't owe us anything. We were sinners. We had offended God. We're all, the scripture concluded, all under sin. We had all sinned and come short of the glory of God. God didn't owe us anything. He certainly didn't owe us the best that he had. But yet he sent his only begotten son into this world, and he laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus came and died on the cross and took our sins up on him. And because of his finished work at Calvary and because of his resurrection from the dead, he made a way for people to be able to escape the torments of what we deserve and to go and be with him. I told somebody the other day, I think I mentioned this maybe in the lesson, but I said, I've been around people a few times in my life when they had just either bought or built a great big house. And oh, I mean, it was fancy. It had everything in the world inside of it, and all the comforts and boast to me about the big house that they live in. You just wait till you see the dwelling place that God gives us. Just wait till you see what is waiting us. And you know, we listen, and this is one of the things that the scriptures teach us. If you look at the 73rd Psalm, listen, we should never covet anything. We should never be envious of anything that this world has. There have been people, Asaph fell into that trap of looking at how that God prospered the wicked here in this world. But listen, we should never be desirous of those things. Those things are going to pass away. God has given us something better than that. Thankful. Be ye thankful. God is good. He's good to his people. The Bible says God is good to Israel. He's good to his chosen, to his people. I'm going to tell you something. If you're here today and you're not saved, if you're here today and you're yet lost and in your sins, you have a lot to be thankful for. You better be thankful that you're still living and that you still have the opportunity to seek the Lord for the salvation of your soul. And I'll tell you what, if you will seek him, if you'll repent of your sins and trust in the Lord, seek after him with all your heart until you know that God saved you, it'll be the best thing that ever happened to you, and you'll be able to give thanks in a way that you've never given thanks. Listen, I want to finish what I was started to say earlier, how that I know that we all will observe this, and we do observe this from year to year and from time to time. But listen, as God's people, we cannot just make one day out of the year Thanksgiving Day. Every day has got to be Thanksgiving Day. That's what Brother Mike said in his testimony, that we have something to be thankful for every day. What are you thankful for today? God forbid that any of his children would ever think that they don't have much. to be thankful for. Sometimes we may not reflect upon that. Sometimes we may get caught up in what people call the rat race of life. Sometimes we may find ourselves throwing a pity party and thinking about what we don't have rather than what we do have, thinking about how good that God has been to us, and He just continues to bless us from day to day. And so, you know, this is not something that we can do once a year because God doesn't just bless us one day out of the year. The psalmist said He blesses us every day. Daily. Daily. He loads us with His benefits. You know, there have been many times since the Lord saved me, and I love the song that was written about it. If you've really been saved, you'll know what I'm talking about. There have been many times since the day that the Lord saved me in 1973 that He's come along and assured me, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. God has come along and assured me that I'm His, that I belong to Him. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. And every day that I live, I'm getting older and I'm getting closer to that, getting closer to the time that I will go home and be with the Lord. And you know, I'm thankful today. And I couldn't have said this when I was lost, but I'm thankful today that I don't have to fear death. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that my soul is not concerned about death, because it'll just be a departure from this corruptible, sinful body. And a homegoing to be with the Lord. God has a place that He has prepared for us. And when we get there, these things that the Apostle Paul told us and told the Colossians that we were to do in this life, many of them, we won't be worried about them anymore, because God will have perfected us. And we'll be able, as Paul looked forward to the time when he would be able to leave behind the sinful man that he was and go home and be with the Lord. So, blessed be the God and Father. I'm going to end with this, and then I want to ask Brother Strode if he would to come and sing. The Apostle Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen. We have the greatest inheritance as God's people that anybody could ever have. We have the greatest blessing that anybody could ever have. We have received the greatest gift that anybody could ever receive. And I want to say this, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord, if you're here and you're lost and in your sins, God will give that same gift to you. If you'll meet His conditions, He will save you. He will make you one of His own. He will bless you with the gift of eternal life. And you will know what it truly means to be thankful to the Lord. God bless you. And let's stand and sing. And church, let's worship. Let's worship. God is worthy of our worship. And think. Just take a time of reflection for a moment and think about how good that God has really been to us while we stand and sing.
Number 117. Jesus, we just want to thank you.
Yes, amen.
Jesus, we just want to thank you. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Thank you for being so good. Jesus, we just want to praise you. Jesus, we just want to praise
you.
Jesus, we just want to praise you. Praise you for being so good. Jesus, we just want to tell you.
He's worthy. I'll tell you, the Lord is worthy.
We just want
there's nobody
to
tell
like him. You. Jesus, we just want to tell you we love you for being so good. Savior, we just want to serve you. Savior, we just want to serve you. Savior, we just want to serve you. Serve you for being so good. Jesus, we know you are coming. Jesus, we know you are coming. Jesus, we know you are coming. Take us to live in your home.
Amen. Do another one, Brother Strode, if you would.
Number 65. It's a short song, so let's do it three times. Number 65. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.